Eclectic.
Welcome to Eclectic, the podcast about anything and everything youth ministry, you name it. I'm Rob Brower.
And I'm Scott Davis.
I had to think for a second about, wait, are we doing the full name of the front or the back? We talked about it last time.
Yeah.
And it's full name up front, just first name at the end is what we decided we were going to
do. Yes.
So that's what we're doing.
Well, I think we decided we were going to do that because that's what we were doing.
That's what we
and
were doing.
For whatever reason, last time we got messed up and didn't know what we were
doing. I'm going to be honest. They have no idea.
No.
But if they go back and listen, there's one in which I caught myself. Well, there's a couple of edits that I've done. One in which I said, I'm Rob, and you said, and I'm Scott Davis, and I go back to a previous episode and take my name where I just say Rob Brower, and I just...
Oh, and you inserted
it. I inserted in. There's another time where I also got the tagline, I didn't finish it. You started talking, I said, welcome to youth ministry, or welcome to Eclectic, the podcast about anything, everything, youth ministry, and you jump in with, hey, Rob, and... The you name it just got left off.
Oh,
so I went back and I stole
and
that
had to
from
add
a previous.
The you name it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So when we actually start doing the video stuff,
yeah,
you can't
they don't
do
even
that.
Know about that. That's a conversation
you
that has happened between
things.
Us. They
yes.
don't know about the video
they don't,
stuff.
They don't.
So for those of you.
You don't.
So
you don't know.
Loyal listeners, we're going to start videotaping these podcasts, turning them into vodcasts. I hate that word, by the way.
VOD. Let's change it.
I hate vodcast and I hate vlog.
Let's
I don't know why.
Vidcast.
Vidcast.
Yeah. Oh, that's
welcome to vidcast.com.
That sounded really cool in my head.
A lot of things sound really cool in your head.
A lot of things sound really cool in my head.
Man, I kind of wish we had pre-planned out well ahead of time what we're going to talk about today, because that probably would have helped.
It probably would have.
But
maybe...
I was busy. I was going to do it.
I
was going to sit down and make a list of topics.
You could. I had planned on doing the same thing. In fact, I was out getting some miles on my bike recently, and some topics actually came to mind. But
how many miles did you put on your bike?
I hadn't ridden in over a year, and so the first 2 days I put 30 miles one day, and I put 45 the next. So then the third day my legs needed a break.
Okay.
So 75 in the first 2 days of riding.
Man.
In over a year.
Way to procrastinate on your bike riding there, buddy. You went a whole year. You had intended to ride the whole year, but you just didn't?
No. My bike was broken.
Oh.
And I was too cheap to pay to go get it fixed because I paid for a tune-up
ministry. I
paid for a tune-up, paid to get it fixed, and I got it back, and it wasn't working right.
So you don't do your own bike maintenance?
I do some.
Okay.
Kind of through all of this, I'm desiring to learn more. I do a lot of the basic stuff.
Yeah.
But some of the fine tuning of the indexing of the derailleur and the...
I tell you what.
All that stuff is...
After having worked in the outdoor shop at the university...
Yeah.
Man, when you pay somebody to do your bike work, you're getting ripped off, pal.
Oh.
It is so simple.
Well, yeah.
But part of the thing is,
there's a lot. Well, and just like fixing a car, there's a lot of stuff you can just get on YouTube.
The bike stuff is so much simpler.
The key is some of the super fine tuning things.
Yeah.
So it's learning. Some of it's an art.
Yeah.
And some of it's just, you know, mechanical.
I noticed you already have a decent bike stand. I saw that in the photo.
Oh yeah,
you've got a good bike stand, and so that
I want to get a better one. It's one I can use.
And so anyway,
I need to invest in some tools.
Yeah,
good tools.
That is important.
A chain loop and some other things.
Yeah, that is important. But you know, start doing the YouTube videos, and I think you're going to find that bike repair and tune ups and things that kind of thing you can do yourself. You know. So as you're a road biker, and I was a mountain biker. I haven't gone in quite a while, as you can tell by my non-mountain biker physique. I've got a dad physique now. you know, I keep thinking, man, I want to get back into mountain biking. I used to be really heavy into mountain biking, and then I had a really expensive mountain bike get stolen off of a balcony my apartment. Had it locked to the railing and everything, and they must have been scoping it out because they climbed up there in the middle of the night with bolt cutters, cut the cable lock, and threw the bike down and jumped down, took off.
That's heartbreaking.
Yeah, yeah. And then I called the cops, and it took them 35 minutes to come out. And then as I was explaining what happened to the officer, he goes, "Oh, when did this happen?" And I said, "Just a little bit ago, like like, I called you guys right when it happened because I heard something on the balcony, went outside, looked, saw nothing, and then I thought, wait, I didn't see anything. My bike should be hanging right there blocking my view. And, yeah, it was a specialized. But he goes, oh, man, I wish they would have told me that. I would have responded quicker because the odds of getting the item back if we respond, like, right away are greater. And I was thinking to myself, why don't you always just respond quickly then?
Yeah.
He was kind of procrastinating, I guess, taking his time.
You know,
out there. No, I don't know what
we could talk about procrastination.
We could,
since we've kind of put off planning what we were going to do.
Yeah. I mean, we've already mentioned procrastination a few times now.
Yeah.
And so, coincidence?
I think not.
All right. So procrastination.
Yes.
Every youth ministry podcast at some point has to talk about procrastination.
If they're going to be honest.
Yes. And any podcast worth its weight in salt or whatever other thing you're going to measure and weigh, just go with it. Weight in gold.
Worth its salt.
Dog biscuits.
Worth its
weight
salt.
It could be
worth
anything.
Worth its weight in gold.
Worth its weight in salt. Mix them together, man.
Yeah.
Mix them up first. So anyway, worth its weight. It's going to talk about procrastination because, let's be honest, procrastination is an issue in youth ministry.
Yes, it really is. It, you know, youth ministry and procrastination are almost synonymous anymore, which is not, I don't know, to a certain degree, it's very unfortunate because there are plenty out there who work hard to be organized and to focus and to plan and to move ahead and to have vision and all that kind of stuff.
But those guys all become senior pastors within a year. And then the procrastinators,
well, I was going to become a senior pastor one day, but I just never got around to it. Yeah, so there's a bit of a stereotype that is in some sense forced upon youth ministers, like, oh, you're just going to be procrastinating things anyway.
Yeah,
and then for others, it's like, no, this is a deep frustration. I like to plan. I like to put things together. Don't lump me in with those people. But the problem is it's not, and it's largely an earned.
Yeah, it is.
Reputation.
But the terrible thing about it is, you know, why is it an issue? Number one, when other people assume that you're procrastinating anyway, I don't know, I can guarantee, even though I haven't asked you this question, I've been in a situation where I've had senior leadership come up to me, not that I want to name any names or throw anyone under the bus, come up to me and be like, oh, hey, Rob, want you to do this, this, and this, make this announcement for the kids, or hey, while you guys are here, if you're looking for stuff to do, man, we've got this old carpet that we pulled out of the sanctuary and you guys get to go toss into the dumpster. And I'm thinking, you know, I've got a night planned. Like every minute is planned out. We got 15 minutes of free time and then we've got 12 and a half minutes of worship. And then we've got prayer requests. We got 4 minutes of that in prayer time. Then we've got 8 minutes of announcements. And then I've got, you know, an upfront game that we're going to do for 7 minutes. And then my message is 25 minutes long. And then we have discussion groups. And then we close. Yeah. And so that's our whole time. We don't have time to go just do an errand for you in the middle of youth group. I don't know if they think we're just sitting around twiddling our thumbs looking for stuff to do.
Yeah, so there's this grand assumption that, oh, everything's flexible. You can just kind of adapt and flex. And so since your group's here, since your teen's here, well, that's a pet peeve, but that's a whole nother podcast. But, you know, the youth group is not the workforce of the church. No. You know, do teens need to learn how to serve? Absolutely. But they're not your workhorse.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
But, it's a problem. I do the same thing. I list out minute by minute what's going on. Like this piece is going to take this many minutes, and we're doing three songs, so it's going to take this much. Oh, we're only going to do two, and we'll save one for later, and so this many here,
there. You got to schedule it out.
Yeah. And once we get started, everything is going to ebb and flow. Things are going to shift. Not everything works out exactly like you think it's going to be. And I've actually gone to doing more and more video announcements than live announcements because the kids, if you do live announcements, the kids won't shut up with all the questions
that
you have already answered
a
million times. So doing video announcements, I know exactly this is going to be this announcement clip is going to be 3 minutes and 26 seconds.
Yep.
Done. And then when I go up after the or somebody else goes up, whoever's next goes up and moves forward, there's no questions to answer about. If you have a question, come ask me afterwards. But you have to plan out, or it just things just you never have time for the things that are really important.
And I will say this about good youth leaders, youth workers, volunteers, or pastors. The ability to go with the flow and improvise is a great skill.
Yes.
And unfortunately, it's a double-edged sword. On the one hand, when you've got it all planned out and things go awry, you go, okay, I know we can drop this, and you can kind of rearrange things and say, prioritize, this song is important. It's the crux of my message. I'm going to do an altar call, and I want Come As You Are as that song. So that means we're going to shorten up game time by 5 minutes because we're running a little bit late.
Right.
The ability to be able to improvise like that, or last minute, hey, man, the speaker that was going to come speak today is not here. Being able to say, okay, look, I've got stuff in my back pocket I can pull out. I can talk about this relevant topic. I can show this video clip. Just go on YouTube, find it. We'll show that, and then we'll talk about
or,
it. That's great, and that allows you, but it, unfortunately, it's that same skill, if you will, that causes some youth pastors to procrastinate.
Yeah, you become dependent upon it. You know, it's the... The whole idea that, okay, a game starts falling apart and you realize, okay, this is not turning out like we had hoped it would turn out.
Yeah.
And so we need to cut this game and move forward with something else. The ability to make a new game out of that old game, to just adapt on the fly and change one element and it fixes the game.
Yeah.
Or at the last second, grab this thing from this corner and something from the supply closet, and just in a few seconds, think of a game. Oh, okay, here we go, and here's a new game.
Well, there was a
case
at camp where we were playing a game with the earth balls, and the earth ball popped.
Oh, yeah.
And what do you do? So you have to improvise. You know, I mean, there are legitimate reasons where that skill comes into play.
The problem then is when you come to this place where you are dependent on that to survive. I'll just wing it with the game because I always manage to be able to put it together at the last second anyway.
Yeah.
I always manage to be able to fix a game so I can just make
it. And the struggle is the more success you have with that, the easier it becomes to procrastinate. But, I mean, let's state the obvious here. What are some of the problems with procrastinating in youth ministry?
Well, one of the things is procrastinating, you're not able to really work toward a particular goal.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you procrastinate, you put everything at the last second, and you're not able to really develop the details that need to be worked out whether it's an overarching goal for your whole ministry.
Yeah, absolutely. I find that another problem when people tend to procrastinate is that if you're the only person in ministry, and it's just you and eight kids or something, that's one thing. But when you've got other people that are depending on you, to provide leadership, it's hard to do when you're procrastinating. And when they come up to you and say, hey, what's the game plan for tonight, Scott? And they go, we're just going to do youth group. And you start throwing stuff out there. They're not dressed for it. They're not prepared. Hey, you know, so what we're going to do tonight is all the youth leaders are going to give a testimonial. Yay, you're first. And they're like, thanks. Thanks for throwing me, putting me on the spot. I wasn't prepared to talk about this.
Right.
I don't have my thoughts in order. And I think the tendency might be if we're good at that, doing stuff on the fly, we tend to
just assume other people
can do it too. But
if we're good at it, it doesn't mean we should rely on that. It means God has blessed us with this ability to flex and adapt in a situation that requires it. But not all situations require it.
Yeah.
And so when we force ourselves to live that way, one is we wear ourselves down. Mm-hmm. We wear ourselves down a lot faster. And we're not able to look at the grander scope of our ministry and where we're trying to head and then funnel everything through that vision because everything's just by the seat of our pants. And it's not just with like the Bible study night, the youth group night. There's an event that's like a big event that you've been talking about, like, and details are coming. These details will be coming on this.
Absolutely.
This is a big event. You want to be a part of it. Details are coming. And next thing you know, you haven't gotten around to dealing with those details and the event is 2 weeks away and you haven't really been able to cast a vision of what this thing is because you haven't bothered to deal with it.
And when you procrastinate, you wind up cutting your timeline way short, and so it eliminates possibilities. And if we're talking about, you know, a medium to large event for our teens, then we really need to make that event the best it can be. Not so that we can say, oh, our event was more awesome than your event, but really, we got to look at our ministry and what is our ministry goal? What is our vision? And I'm pretty sure that the vision doesn't include doing the best that we can within the timeline that we created for ourselves in limiting that time by procrastinating. That's not part of the vision.
Right.
The vision is that you would plan big. You would pray big. And you would say, okay, God, give me a vision for what we can do for these teens. And maybe God gives you a vision.
Yeah.
He says, dude, if you do this, it's going to reach the teens. And you go, okay, that includes bringing in a speaker. You wait to the last minute, and now you're limited. Hey, can you come and speak at our camp? Nope, sorry. Can you come and speak at our camp? No. Oh, man, we need a dynamic speaker. Can you speak at our... Nope.
Or you find somebody who can, but you're not giving them adequate time to prepare.
Exactly. So you're not going to get their best, and then your event's not going to be the best that it could be. Now, don't get me wrong. God can show up in the middle of any of this mess with all of our failures and procrastination, and he can show up big and make it happen.
Yeah.
But what I've learned
is... The goal in those moments is to learn our lesson to not rely on God's spirit to save our butt every time.
Yes.
But to use the gifts and the time that he's given us in a fashion that brings out the best of who we are and the best of what we want our program to be.
Yeah. Some people will say that you know, oh man, you got lucky. Ooh, I didn't prepare last minute. I just called up a buddy, had him come over. But he killed it with the message. The game went awesome that we just made up on the spot. We just happened to have all the supplies that we needed for what we wanted to do.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you got lucky. But you know what I find about luck? The more you prepare, the luckier you get.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Definitely.
And so I don't want to embarrass anybody, so I'm not using any names. But I recently had
Frank's going to be
so mad. What if it was a Frank, though? I mean, like, you just randomly picked that
name. There's a Frank out there thinking,
dude, how did he know? Oh, man. Oh, well, sorry.
Yeah, Frank, get your stuff together. Come on.
And then go. And then leave. Get it together and leave.
Yeah, pack it.
Pack it up.
You're
and go.
Out of
you're
here.
Done. You're out of here, which is funny because it was a baseball story.
Oh,
okay.
See,
so
full circle.
So, yeah. I think God did that. You got lucky.
I did.
Because you were prepared. No, you procrastinated, but God showed up anyway.
Yeah.
Good example. All right, so this is what happened. During the summer, I like to have my youth leaders each take days and make it their own and do all the prep work and all of that. Number one, I want them to learn leadership. And number two, it helps them with the buy-in by owning youth ministry a little bit more. That's a little treat for those that are going to be watching the video. Scott just had this huge yawn. Yeah. He looked like a lion on a rock. Just roar, you know. But you guys can't see that through the audio podcast. So anyway, I have these leaders take a day, and they do all the planning and everything.
Yeah.
And I think procrastination played a part in this story. So what happens is one of the leaders says, I know what I want to do for my day. I want to go take the teams. We're going to go to Tacoma Rainiers, the AAA team for the Seattle Mariners.
Going to Rainiers
games. I got that hat right there, that Rainiers hat, at the game.
Nice.
And so what happened was I said, okay, you figure out the details. You let me know. Came back to me with, it's going to be $11 a kid. That includes a hot dog, a bottle of water, and a bag of chips. I'm like, perfect. So we start advertising it to the parents. Hey, our summer program's coming on this date. We're going to go to the Rainiers game. The van's going to leave the church at 6 o'clock. It's a 7 o'clock start. You know, it's only a half-hour drive to Tacoma, et cetera. So we get up there, and the first thing that I say is, the overall cost of this event did include the $10 per car parking. We had two church vans. So I said, okay, $20, no big deal.
Right.
I said, hey, do you have your receipt? He went online and purchased the tickets ahead of time on his credit card. I said, hey, you have your receipt so we can fill out the reimbursement form, right? Now, do the math real quick in your head. 22 tickets at $11 a ticket. He said 22 was the max he could buy, $242. I get a receipt for $347.50. I said, oh, hold on a second. What's up with the discrepancy? That's over $100 there. Oh, there's some sort of service charge. I'm like, okay, so you got to take that service charge into account and then roll that into the ticket pricing.
Yeah.
Had you bought the tickets well in advance, you would know that. But since you already promoted $11 a ticket, we can't charge the kids extra now. So we're going to eat the $20 for the parking plus a little over $100 here. Now we're up to about $130 that we're eating, and we'll do that for ministry. No problem.
Right.
So then we get to the ticket window, and we had more kids sign up last minute. So I say, hey, I need to buy three more tickets. Can I still get them at the $11? No, that's a pre-purchase price. They're $13.50 a seat. I'm like, no way. Can we still get the meal deal, though? What meal deal? You know the one that comes with the $11 tickets? We don't have an $11 meal deal. We have a $13 ticket that includes a meal. I was like, okay, can we purchase that as an add-on for all of these tickets? And now we got 25 tickets. Nope, sorry. That has to be bought in advance. So I talked to a supervisor. I talked to another manager. I talked to this coordinator, that coordinator. Talked to the group sales guy. And he says, man, I'm so sorry. The vendors that do the food, that they're completely separate from us. They're a different organization.
Yeah.
And what they do is we promote, and they're doing basically a loss leader. They give you a hot dog that they don't even sell. It's a small little hot dog. The one that they sell, the Rainier dog for $6, is a bigger dog, right? This is the chintzy little promo hot dog, a little bag of chips and a bottle of water. And they say that they basically are losing money on that because they know that for everybody that comes up there, they're going to buy additional stuff. They're going to look at that meal and go, oh, man, this is not enough food. Hey, let me also get this, this, and this.
So it's a little bit of a bait and switch.
So it is. Well, sort of. It's a loss leader is what it is, right? So I look around the ballpark, to make a long story short. Buying the cheapest meal or the cheapest thing that I could find was a hot dog for $5.75. The cheapest beverage in the whole park was a bottle of water for $4.50. And instead of bags of chips, we bought larger bags of popcorn, and kids just shared that for $6 a bag. The event, including the tickets for the leaders, which I was going to pay for anyway, the event wound up, after we subtract the money, that the $11 per kid that was brought in, we wound up spending $450 on this event. That was a big costly mistake that largely it had to do with procrastination.
Yeah. Procrastination, and any part of what, you know, part of what goes along with that, with the idea of procrastination, is details.
Yeah.
Now, details aren't always an issue of procrastination, but somebody can plan ahead but not realize some of the details they need to look at. But really, they kind of work together, and they achieve or destroy the same thing.
Yeah.
And so I think they're, you know, relatively synonymous in this conversation.
Yeah.
What are some things that you do to help you? Because, you know, we talked about this a little bit before.
Yeah.
We weren't totally procrastinated with this.
We talked about it.
We talked about it a little bit before. And we both admit that we still are get caught up in procrastinating from time to time.
Oh, I can procrastinate with the best of them.
What is something that you do to help eliminate procrastination?
It starts with the little things, because it's really, for me, procrastination, it's not a situational thing. It's kind of a state of mind, right?
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
You get lazy and you don't want to do stuff or whatever. So this is what I've had to start doing around the house and in ministry. If I see something and the thought jumps in my head, oh, this should really get done, I ask myself, can I stop what I'm doing right now and do this? If I'm on my way to a meeting with the senior pastor and I've got 2 minutes to get there and I stop and I go, oh, I left that mess out after youth group Wednesday night, I should really clean that up, and it's going to take 15 minutes to clean up, I'm not going to stop and do it right then. That would be silly.
Right.
But if I was, you know, if I'm on my lunch break and I go, oh, man, I got to do that, I will stop and do it right away. So that's one of the ways I do it. A little thing at home, I mean, it's silly, but I kick off my socks wherever I kick off my socks. I mean, just like I'm walking around the house with we don't wear shoes, but, you know, we wear socks, and my feet get hot. I'm sitting in my recliner. I just kick them off, and they're at the foot of the recliner. And so I'm watching TV or whatever. When I get done, as I'm heading to the bedroom, I look down and I see my socks. And if I think, oh, man, I really need to put those in the laundry hamper, I'll grab them right then and there and go put them in the laundry hamper. Because if I don't, they stay there. My wife gets up in the morning. She's like, oh, my socks are out here, man. You know, she has to pick them up. And so I'm sorry, honey. but, you know, that's just, it's because I know me. And so, I mean, you have to know yourself.
Yeah.
You have to identify your areas that you're weak in. And the other thing that I found is I tend to procrastinate on the things that I don't want to do, right? I will elevate anything on my to-do list, my mental to-do list, and say, well, okay, yeah, watching that YouTube video is more important now than doing that paperwork, because I don't want to do that paperwork now, and I'll put it off. And so then I have to catch myself. So you have to know yourself. You have to be honest with yourself, and you have to say, these are the areas in which I tend to procrastinate. And then the solution might be different for different people. The doing it right away thing might work for me, but it may not work for you. So what's something that you like to do to combat procrastination?
I've become a list. Well, don't necessarily like the term, but it kind of fits. I've become a list Nazi.
I knew that was coming.
I really have. I don't like the term, but the reality is that's me. I create lists for myself. Which is, it's kind of fun to watch because my son has started to make lists and he's starting to see the benefits of the lists. And it's like, oh yeah, that's my boy. He just graduated, going to be going off to college.
Your poor
in
wife.
The fall. And he's, anyway, so I make lists. The fam's going camping. I make my list of everything that's got to go. Everything that has to go. As I'm packing, if I throw something in that's not on the list, I got to write it on the list so I can cross it off. We go grocery shopping. Nicole doesn't like to go grocery shopping with me too much because I make her go with, we have to go with a list.
Yeah.
And I either put up a big fuss when she tries to grab something that's not on the list to put it in the cart. If we're really tight on the grocery budget at the moment, then I really, really put up a fight. But if we're, you know, there's a little more wiggle room, then I'll put up a little fight. But then if it still goes in the cart, I have to write it on
I've
the
got
list
this mental
so I can cross
image,
it off.
Dude. I've got this mental image of you pushing this big old grocery cart, Nicole in front of you. She grabs something off the shelf, sets it in the cart, keeps walking, and you reach in, you put it right back on it without breaking stride. I just get this mental image.
You know what's funny is that's happened. That's happened before.
That's awesome.
It's like, this is not a part. We do not need this.
She gets to the checkout. What happened to that? It wasn't on the list. It wasn't on the list, babe.
Yeah, we've had some creative dialogue around my problem with lists. But no, so like even in my planner, my organizer, I have to have a paper planner. I do some stuff. I'm part digital, part paper.
Yeah.
So I have to have a paper element to my to really
you're
be
like a planning cyborg.
I am. The resistance is futile. Anyway, so I list out my weekly projects, and then on particular days of the week, things that I know this has to be done this day, I list it on that day. And I try really hard not to move to the next day's stuff. There might be something that's easier I can get done really quick that's a part of the next day, but I haven't got everything done on my list for today. I try really hard not to move ahead. Sometimes I do just because like I'm in that mode, and this frame of mind is required for this item, and this item. Well, since I'm in that frame of mind, I can just knock these other things out really quick.
Yeah.
Sometimes I do that, but a lot of times I try to just focus on where I'm at and not move ahead a day, just get everything done in this day. But sometimes there are things like, okay, certain things have happened today that are not going to allow me to finish this at this moment. I've got to wait for a phone call back or I've got to wait for whatever. So while I'm waiting to finish this last thing on my list, then I might jump ahead or I might, you know, do something else.
One of the things that my wife and I found out early in our marriage is like when I go away for a business trip or something, she would tend to procrastinate on doing the laundry and doing the dishes. And so what would happen is we'd have three meals worth of dishes pile up, and our dishwasher in our first apartment wasn't very big, and so only like one load of dishes would get done when it really would take two full loads to do all three meals worth of pots, pans, and dishes.
Right.
And so then at the end of the day, we still have a meal and a half worth of dishes sitting there in the sink. And then it would be the same thing the next day until finally I go on a trip and I come back. The dishes are all done and put away. Laundry's all done and folded and put away. And it's just like the house is spotless because she found that once she gets into the cleaning mode, the thing that she didn't want to do, once she gets into the mode, it becomes easier and easier.
It takes, yes.
And I find the same thing, that there are certain times when I go, look, I really don't want to sit here and plow through emails and answer emails, but I set aside time and I just start doing it. And once I do it, I get in that mode and it just gets easier and easier, right? The stuff that you don't want to do, just start doing it. And so kind of like take the Nike approach, just do it. I'm trying to become a list guy. Over there on my desk, I found a to-do list that makes sense for me. It prioritizes it. It says must do things today, and it's got like four slots that you can write in. And then it says I would also, you know, these should get done. And then the last one is, and if there's time, these two. And so I have to prioritize things that way so that I don't mentally, like I said, I'll push something to the top of the list if I don't have a list. And so I've been starting to do that. And then it's got a little bit of note space at the bottom, which is great because I use that when I check my voicemail messages. I can jot down a name and a phone number. And then I have to write on the list like a must do or should do, call this person back.
Right.
You know, and so
I kind of divide that up in my thing by the stuff that goes in. So in my organizer, I made my organizer because I structured it to the way I think. And
my organizer was made by you, too.
It's fantastic. I looked at that thing and it's really, really well done.
Thank you.
No, thank you. Anyway, but I have a whole section for weekly projects and that's kind of the area where I put in the, these need to be done, but kind of whenever.
Mm-hmm.
And so then the things that have to be done on a particular day or by a certain time on a particular day, those go on that day. And then if they need to be done at a certain time, I will schedule them into the timeline of the day that they have to be done by this time. But then I go through and, I'm kind of a geek with my writing utensils. I got to have my mechanical pencil. I got to have my highlighter and I've got to have my red pen. So I write the things in with my mechanical pencil. And then when I get started on something, I'll use the highlighter, just kind of put a highlighted dot at the beginning that's like, this is in progress. This is started. Because sometimes you'll get into something that's like, okay, I need to take a mental break from this and move on to something else. But then I'll look back, okay, the dot. Yeah, okay, I need to finish up that dot thing. So where was I with that? And I'll get back into it. And I don't fully cross it out till it's done. And then there are certain things every once in a while I might need to make a note on something. And so I'll use my red pen because I need it to stand out from other things.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's finding that system that really works for you. You know how you tick, and experiment with different things to kind of find, but the most important thing I think with all of that is figuring out that time and way to identify and set apart those, what some would call the big rocks, the things that have to be done today to kind of divide the chaos.
And I'll say this, if you're married and or if you have really, really close friends, like longtime childhood friends, and you don't know where your procrastination areas are, go ask them. Because I guarantee you, if you've got a friend that has permission to be brutally honest with you, if I say, Scott, where are the areas that you see me procrastinating? Scott will tell me. He'll tell me. Yeah. And I would do the same for him. I know if we go to our wives and we say, honey, where are things that we tend to procrastinate on? We'll get a list longer than we probably want.
Yeah, they'll say, do we have the time for that? And, do we do now?
Although I will say that I found a meme on Facebook and I had to share it to my wife's timeline because there was something she had been asking me to do and I'd been putting it off on purpose. I was like, it doesn't need to be done right now.
Right.
And I don't want to expend the energy and there's a tool I have to go buy. But it says something to the effect of women – if your man says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. There's no reason to keep nagging him every 6 months. And so feeling like in our household.
That's good.
Hey, listen, if you have anything that you think we missed, feel free to communicate that with us. And once again, this doesn't necessarily apply to everybody. If you're not a procrastinator, feel free to comment and tell us what are the things that you have done to avoid, or why do you think this is not an issue with you? Maybe there's something that you're doing that everybody else should be doing as well. Go ahead and reach out to us. You can email us. We are at podcast@eclectic.com. You can comment on our website. That is eclectic.com, eclectic. You can also find us on Twitter. We are at eclectic. And on Facebook, we are at facebook.com/IamEclectic. I'm Rob.
I'm Scott.
Thanks for listening and stay eclectic.